Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is John Bevere, and he's written a new book called Driven by Eternity. He is the best-selling author of a book called Good or God. And, John, thank you so much for joining us.
Jerry, it's a real pleasure to be on with you, and I want to thank you for what you guys are doing to build up the body of Christ through this radio station and network. You guys are just doing a fabulous job, so it's an honor to be on with you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm sure people have heard the phrase, oh, he's so heavenly-minded, he's no earthly good. Let's start with that concept and have you go ahead and comment about that in light of your new book, Driven by Eternity.
Yeah, you know, Jerry, I'm going to humble myself right now. I used to be one of those guys that said that until I realized that the only way to be effective in this life is to be heavenly-minded. You know, this whole message really was spawned by quite an encounter I had last year, 9 months ago, December. Well, actually, it'd be 11 months ago, December of 2015. I was asked to speak to only pastors and leaders of a church network down in Brazil. So I flew down to Goiânia, Brazil, and they said, now you're only going to be speaking in this conference to the pastors and leaders of our churches. I said, great. Well, they drive me to the auditorium, I should actually say arena, and there were over 12,500 of these pastors and leaders in this arena, and they were passionate about Jesus. That's the only way I can describe it. And I was blown away. I'm like, these are pastors and leaders. So the next day I'm at lunch with eight of them. These are the top leaders of the organization. And there was one that sat across from me at the lunch table who spoke particularly good English. So I looked at all of them and I said, okay, how long have you been a church organization? And they said, we've been a church organization 16 years. It started 16 years ago with one family, and they named the name of the family. Aloysio, I think, was the name. And I said, well, how many people do you have in your churches? And they said, we have over 300,000 people in our churches. And I about dropped my fork.
Wow.
Jerry, I said, wait a minute. How do you build a church network of over 300,000 people in just 16 years in a first world nation? And I thought that they were going to look back at me and say, it's because we've got a very well home fellowship organization here. And that's not what they said. Without batting an eye, without even hesitating, the guy who spoke the best English, the leader, sitting across the table at me said, it's because we teach our people on eternal rewards and judgment. We teach them on the judgment seat of Christ, the believer's judgment seat. And he said, John, I've been to many churches in America, and you American ministers are not teaching your people on eternal rewards and judgment. He said, so our believers in our church network, we are eternally minded. You American Christians, many of them are 70 or 80 years minded. And I realized right then, Jerry, that to have an eternal perspective, is you'll live a totally different life than to have a 70 or 80 year perspective. Hmm. If I have an eternal perspective, I'll pursue things differently. I'll make decisions differently. I will endure things I wouldn't necessarily endure with a 70 or 80 year perspective. And so it fueled my passion to relaunch this message that God gave me years ago.
Yes?
Okay. Oh. Here, you want me to keep going?
Sure, yeah.
Dominate the interview.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Well,
by the way, I was going to say that even a 70 to 80 year perspective is actually an improvement on, you know, unfortunately on many of us, but go on.
Yeah. I know, it's like we have a year perspective, maybe even a week. But all of us have to realize, you know, as Christians, that one day we're going to stand before Jesus Christ as judge. And I know a lot of Christians, when they hear me say that, they go, what? Wait a minute, Jesus is my Savior, I'll never stand before him as judge. And I'll go, you obviously are not reading the same Bible I'm reading. Because the Bible very clearly says there are two different judgment seats. One's the great white throne judgment. That's where everybody who has not received Jesus will stand before God and give an account from their sins. And they'll be eternally lost because there's no works that they could do to earn a place in heaven forever and ever and ever. As believers, we know our sins have been eradicated by the blood of Jesus. However, what the Bible is very clear about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and Romans 14 is that we as believers are going to stand before Jesus as our judge. And we're not going to give an account of our sins. We're going to give an account of what we did in this life as believers. Did we fulfill the calling that God placed upon our life? Did we enter into that calling and reach our maximum potential? What did we give our life and our attention to achieving? What were our motives? What were our thoughts? I mean, Paul said that Jesus is going to judge us. Now, the word judgment, when we hear that word, a lot of Christians get scared. They don't want to hear the word judgment. But what most Christians don't realize is the word judgment, 90% of the time it appears in the New Testament, it's from the Greek word krema, which simply means this. It means a decision resulting from an investigation. So Jesus is going to investigate our lives. He's not only going to investigate our words. He's not only going to investigate our works. He's going to investigate our motives, our thoughts, our intentions. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5 says that he's going to examine the secret motives of our heart, and every man's praise will come from God. We know Paul's not talking about sinners there. He's talking about Christians, because no sinner is going to get praise from God. And so as a result of this investigation, the Bible says he's going to make decisions over our life. And Hebrews chapter 6 tells us those decisions are going to be eternal. That means there's never going to be any changes, alterations, or revisions to those decisions. So what that tells me, Jerry, is what we do with the cross determines where we're going to spend eternity. All Christians know that. However, the way we live as believers determines how we're going to spend eternity. And the Bible is very clear that the rewards that we can receive to the losses we can suffer is anywhere from having everything we did burned up all the way to ruling and reigning beside Christ forever and ever. And so this is why John the Apostle, in his elder years in 2 John verse 8, says, live in such a way that you're going to get the full reward. Paul says, run your race in order to get the prize. These are seasoned apostles. Both of them wrote these words towards the end of their life. They're saying, God wants you to live in a way that you're going to be rewarded. I know as a father, I love rewarding my sons. But as a wise father, I've learned not to reward my sons unless they've earned it or deserved it, because that takes away incentive. And so, Jerry, every single one of us right now are determining our quality of life, so to speak, of how we're going to spend eternity. We're doing it right now in this time.
Hmm. All right, we're talking right now with John Bevere, author of a new book called Driven by Eternity. Is there a website for the book itself or for your ministry?
The website is drivenbyeternity.com, or they can go to johnbevere.com, or they can go to amazon.com or any bookstore.
Drivenbyeternity.com. We'll just stick with that one to just make it simple. There's a great quote from C.S. Lewis where he said this. He said, aim for heaven and you get earth thrown in. Aim for earth and you get neither.
I love that quote. I love that quote. Can I give you another quote?
Sure.
C.S. Lewis's?
Yeah.
He said, my iPad that has it on it is gone. But anyway, I'm going to quote it because I've said it so much. I'm going to try to quote it. He said, those who have done the most, those Christians who have done the most on this earth are precisely those who were mindful of the world to come. Yeah. He said, it is only since Christians have become not heavenly minded or eternally minded that they've become so ineffective in this world.
That is so true. And I don't get it, John. It's almost as if we're settling down, as if this is our eternal home, and it's just not, you know, that way. We are indeed just passing through, but it's easy to just sort of get caught up as if this is it, you know. Mindset, you know.
Right. A real key, I think, is one that we don't hear talked about a lot, is Colossians 1 through 5. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And that's where Paul says, if you've been raised with Christ from the dead, seek those things which are above, not those things that are on the earth. And then he says, set your affections on things above. So what he's saying there is, what we seek after is where our affections will be set. So let me give you an example. I have met Christians, and I'm not being critical. I'm just trying to point out this truth that Paul says. They spend anywhere from 5 to 7 hours every Sunday watching the NFL. They watch Monday Night Football. They watch the NFL Network. They read the sports page about the NFL. So when I get with them the first thing that comes out of their mouth is they're talking about who's injured, who's performing above what people thought they were going to do, what teams are going to make the playoffs, how things are shaping up in this particular division. They love talking about it. Why? Because they've been seeking the NFL on Sunday, Monday night, etc. So that's where their affections are set. If we would spend more time in the presence of God, reading the Word of God, then when we sit down with people, the first thing that would come out of our mouth was where our affections are set. The Word of God. What's happening in this person's life? How is the kingdom being built? How is it being advanced? And so that's why Christians have come up with this slogan, well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Because really, it was Christians who had set their affections on things on this earth. They were saved. They believed in Jesus for salvation. But they were convicted many times by people who were passionate about building the kingdom. I mean, Peter tells us we are pilgrims. We're strangers on this earth. Mm. We need to live as if we are from another world. That's the way Jesus lived. That's why he was so attractive, because people were so bogged down by this life. Here's a guy that comes along who happens to be the Son of God manifested in the flesh, who's living in a way that's so far above the way they're living. And so there was an attraction to him. And we have to ask ourselves, why aren't we advancing the kingdom more rapidly? Why aren't people's lives being completely impacted when they have an encounter with a Christian today, like they were with Paul and Peter and Jesus? It's because we have set our affections on things on this earth.
That's a very well put. You know, it's interesting you bringing up the example of Peter in the post-crucifixion and early phases of Christ appearing to the, you know, as a resurrected Christ and so forth to his disciples. There's a time where basically, Peter decides to go back fishing. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's as if he was resetting his affections, you know, back on earthly things during that kind of period of limbo, you know, before Christ fully re-engaged him, if you will, you know, and then he asked Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter, of course, had denied him three times. But you're right, that whole point about setting affections. So I take it that your trip to Brazil maybe changed your life.
Absolutely. When I saw the passion of those pastors, I've been in many pastors' meetings in America where I've seen that kind of passion. And I've traveled the world. I've been in full-time ministry traveling for 30 years. And I've been in over 50 nations, and I've been all over this nation. So I'm 57 years old. I feel like I'm kind of like a father now in the church. And that encounter, to see pastors with that kind of passion, that kind of resolve, I just said, oh, we've got to get America back. Because, you know, the elections just passed, and, you know, Christians were so hung up on the elections. But, you know, we have this false hope, and this false hope is every 4 years, we're going to get a candidate that's going to come forward as president, and other candidates for the Senate and other candidates for our local that are going to change things. And we put all our hopes in that when the real truth of the matter is our candidates have only been a reflection of the way we've lived. Mm. And God says, if my people, not the guy who's running for office who doesn't even know Jesus Christ, he's talking about my people, the people who Jesus Christ is their Lord, Master, and Savior. If they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And I think, you know, what's going to change America is when the church is transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. I think there's a lot of disillusionment now. You know, certain candidates didn't get elected, you know, just a couple days ago that people were hoping for.
Sure.
Now all of a sudden they're walking around, they're down, they're this, and I'm like, that's because you put your confidence and you were earthly minded, not heavenly minded. You were not eternally minded. And so, I mean, if you look at the church, the early church, King Herod Agrippa was the ruler during Peter's day. We're talking about Peter right now. He was murdering Christians just to gain political favors mm-hmm. with the Jewish people, which were the larger segment of people. Yet the church advanced in an unprecedented way. I mean, they reached the whole region of Asia in 2 years. Not a city, not a country, the entire region of Asia. And the Bible can't exaggerate. Every single person in Asia heard the word of the Lord within the space of 2 years. They didn't have satellites. They didn't have radios. They didn't have newspapers. They didn't have the web. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Instagram. Yet the whole region of Asia heard the word of the Lord in 2 years. So while they're being persecuted and the wrong candidates, so to speak, were in office, Herod Agrippa I, they were still advancing the kingdom because they were heavenly, they were eternally minded.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. John Bevere, author of the new book called Driven by Eternity, the website drivenbyeternity.com. Thank you, sir. God bless.
It's been a blessing.
Okay. Bye-bye now.